translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada. O King, never in your dynasty has the low-minded king been born, who, upon being requested, has refused charity to the brahmanas in the holy places, or to fight to kshatriyas on the battlefield. And your dynasty is even more glorious due to the presence of Prahlad Maharaj, who is like the beautiful moon in the sky. The symptoms of a kshatriya are given in the Bhagavad Gita. One of the qualifications is the willingness to give charity, dana. A kshatriya does not refuse to give charity when requested by a brahmana. Nor can he refuse to fight another kshatriya. A king who does refuse is low-minded. In the dynasty of Bali Maharaj, there is no such low-minded kings. Om Agyana Dharamdasya Gana Slakaya Dhamitvina Tasmai Shri Guru Namah Shri Bhakti Chu Sabinamya Namini Prabhupada Kinjai. So I'll try to say something on this glorious Shrimad Bhagavatam, because one cannot understand this Bhagavatam by reading or by by knowledge. One can only understand this Bhagavatam by bhakti only. It says in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, only by bhakti can I be understood. So one may read commentaries by other acharyas and the intellectual knowledge and so on, but one will not understand it, and one has bhakti. So only by approaching a bona fide spiritual master and we develop bhakti that we can actually understand this, and the mercy of and the mercy of Lord Caitanya, we can understand. Now, so I read one verse. The first verse, Adi Leela, chapter 4, verse 1, and the short purport. This will explain everything. Shri Caitanya Prasadena Tabrupanasya Vivinarayanam Balo api kuyatide sastram disva praja vasalyena. By the mercy of Lord Caitanya Mahaprabhu, even a foolish child can fully describe the real nature of Lord Krishna, the enjoyer of the pastimes of Braj, according to the vision of the revealed scriptures. Purport. One can ascertain the meaning of Sanskrit sloka only when one is endowed with the causeless mercy of Lord Caitanya. Lord Sri Krishna, being the absolute personality of Godhead, cannot be exposed to the mundane instructions of vision. He reserves the right not to be exposed by intellectual feats of non-devotees. Not with understanding this truth, Even a small child can easily understand Lord Krishna and his transcendental pastimes in the land of Vrindavan by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is why we have to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, we have to for me, especially, because whatever generally what comes out, I'm first applying it to myself. So the reason for this purport I read out is that to understand Bhagavatam and is that we have to be childlike. Generally children are they are simple. They simply have full faith and understand the instructions of their elders, their parents, or their grandfathers, grandparents, etc. And they have full faith in them. They don't, once they've given instruction, they generally do it, and they do it with full faith, and they do it. And like a child crossing the road with their parents. Now he said, "Come on, come on, hold my hand. We'll cross this road, and I'll take you across." And the child grabs the mother's or father's hand, and then, with full confidence, they cross that road. And then the child, and if wants to, can let go. So a child has full faith. So similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, he has said, simplicity is Vaishnavism. So we should have childlike faith and accept what our seniors and our elders, or the acharyas, say we should accept with full faith. If we don't, we're actually crooked. This is called kapatya, or duplicity. And if we don't have simple faith in the scriptures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will not be straightforward. Lord Chaitanya was very straightforward. And so therefore we must have faith in this Srimad Bhagavatam and accept what it says and accept what the acharyas say in our line. And in this way we will make advancement in spiritual life. So, in this verse, it's talking about kshatriyas, a kshatriya. And it gives in the qualifications of willingness of a kshatriya. Now, in Krishna's pastimes, or Leela, when Krishna so-called left Vrindavan, I say so-called left Vrindavan, it's described that Krishna so-called left Vrindavan to go to Mathura and then Dwarka. That was his Kshatriya Leela, one could say. And he displayed many qualities of a Kshatriya in his dealings outside of Vrindavan by killing various demons. But there's one thing that I said, Krishna so-called leaving Vrindavan, but this Mathura Leela and Dwarka Leela, they're actually, the Acharyas explain, Vishnu Chakravarti in his commentary on the 10th canto, in the pastimes of Dwarka, says that actually the pastimes of Vraj, the pastimes of Dwarka are actually within Vrajalila. So why is this? The reason being is that the purpose of Vrajalila is to bring the divine couple Radha and Krishna in reunion after separation. And Radharani, she's feeling the separation. So she actually, according to Lalita Madhava, the book Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami, describes how Radharani actually so-called drowns in the Jamuna. And she takes shelter of Surya Dev. And then she takes birth as Satyabhama in Dwarka Leela. And then becomes the wife of Lord Krishna in Dwarka. So then, in Dwarka, Krishna is there with all his entourage, and all the residents of Vrindavan also. Certain residents of Vrindavan also appear in Dwarka Leela, like Purnamasi, Lalita, Vishakha, and Chandravali. They all appear, and Saibiya, the maidservant, one of the gopis of Chandravali, they all appear in Dwarka Leela and the different names. And also Madhu Mangal also appears according to Rupa Goswami. Krishna, requests Vishvakarma, the divine, the demigod architect, to construct Nava Vrindavan, new Vrindavan. And this is where Radharani Satyabhama goes there every day. And because even though she's externally acting as Satyabhama, but internally she's Radharani, feeling the separation. And she has a deity, a murti made of Krishna in Vrindavan, made of Brajananda Krishna in Vrindavan, made, and secretly goes there every day and worships this deity. So one day, Krishna says to Madhu Mangal, let's go to this Nava Vrindavan. Haven't been there before. So So they go there and they find this Murti, this deity of Krishna, playing the flute, peacock feather. And I said, who's this worshipping this deity of me? I said, I know what I'll do. I'll find out. Mother Mungal, you take this deity down. Hide the deity somewhere. Hide it in them. And I will stand on the altar. So then Satyabhama comes and said, the first thing she notices that, wow, the beauty of Krishna has increased today. The beauty of this deity has increased so much. It just looks like the real Krishna is there. So then the tears come down and said, oh Krishna, the Radharani is coming, isn't slowly manifesting. The Natarajan said, tears come, and I said, you know, I'm missing Vrindavan, and said that. And then while Krishna's looking down, he said, this is Satyabhama, but this is really Radharani. And then the tears start coming down from the deity as well, from Krishna. Krishna starts crying. And Radharani says, wow, even the deity's crying today. So then Krishna comes down from the altar, said, Radharani, it is me. So, said, but this is Dwarka, no. And then the associates of Vrindavan who came in the guise of persons in Dwarka Leela reveal who they are. Purnamasi reveals herself and says, Radharani says, but where is Vrindavan? Where is the groves of Vrindavan? If Krishna is here, Vrindavan must be here. Said, yes, this is Vrindavan. He said, by my yoga maya potency, by my potency, Dwarka was actually in Vrindavan. This Dwarka Leela happened in Vrindavan because you were feeling separation from me. And then Lalita and Vishakha said, now, yes, this is now the reunion of Radha and Krishna is complete. And now, this seems like contradictory now, but also it's described that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan because I was just explained. And another reason is that this pastime, see, we read in the Bhagavatam, that was actually performed by, say, Vasudev Krishna. So those killings of the demons outside of Vrindavan was done by Vasudev Krishna. And the real Krishna actually stayed in Vrindavan. Because he never leaves Vrindavan. Krishna never leaves one foot one foot out of Vrindavan. So the question I had for many years was, so what was Krishna doing if he never sets foot out of Vrindavan? So then one day I read the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and I came across the verse 25166. Very eager to watch the various activities of the people in Braj perform as they were tossed by the waves of separation from him. With a happy heart, Krishna hides deep in the forest groves. Indeed, as he had sometimes disappeared as a trick in the previous pastimes. So then later on, it's revealed in the same book by Sanatan Goswami that when Krishna was on the chariot of Akura, and Akura came to take Krishna to Mathura with Balaram. So in the morning, when they were about to leave, there was word got around that Krishna was going to leave Vrindavan, and the residents of Vrindavan were actually, of course, lamenting, and they are rolling on the ground in separation. They are putting their bodies in front of the chariot. And while this is going on, Krishna sneaks away from the chariot and goes into the forest of Vrindavan and performs some of the pastimes with his most confidential gopis there. And then after that, of course, Akura noticed Krishna's gone, so they look for him, him and Balaram, they look for him. And then, of course, he's easily found by his footprints and the markings on his footprints, and they find him on the banks of the Jamuna having pastimes with the gopis there. And they said, "Oh, please, Krishna, you must come to Mathura. Akura, please, you must come. I don't want to come, but you must come. Your parents, Vasudeva and Devaki, are suffering there in prison there due to the atrocities of King Kansa, so you must come." So then Vasudeva Krishna agrees to goes with Akura. And the real Krishna then, as I said previously, he runs away and hides in the jungle for 100 years. And then Radharani is left in Vrindavan. She's feeling separation. Now the reason she's feeling separation for is that in the pastimes of Krishna, there's the Gokul pastimes, and there's the Goloka pastimes. So in Goloka Vrindavan, one day, Radharani, she curses Sudama Gopa to take birth as a demon on the earth planet, because Sudama Gopa wanted to associate with Tulsi Gopi. And now Sudama Gopa is an expansion of Krishna, and so Radharani, in her anger, she cursed Sudama Gopa, and he appeared as Sankachuda, the conch demon. Sudama Gopa retaliated a little bit and said, "Okay, if I have to take birth on earth, you have to face separation from Krishna for 100 years. So this is why Radharani had to appear in the form of Satyabhama, and Rupa Goswami then scribes the Lalita Madhava, and then later then reveals that these dwarka pastimes actually they're related to the Vrindavan pastimes. So as a Kshatriya, Krishna, no, he killed many demons. But these Krishna Leela, Vrindavan Leela, Krishna Leela, they're non-different. They're all about Krishna's wonderful pastimes. And a Kshatriya is, we know that Krishna, as a Kshatriya, he never refused to fight with Pundarika, the false Krishna. This Pundarik, he is claiming that he's the real Krishna. And then he challenged Krishna to a fight, and then Krishna, they went to meet him on the battlefield, and Krishna killed him with his chakra. And as a Kshatriya, he always was fighting demons, Jarasandha, and he defeated Jarasandha so many times, and of course eventually killed him. And other demons he killed. Now, some of these demons that Krishna killed were actually not ordinary people. They were actually devotees of Krishna. So to facilitate Krishna's pastimes, some of these devotees, they take birth in demons' bodies so Krishna can do his sporting prowess part, because one of the secondary rasas that he likes to fight. So Krishna never fights with anyone else but his devotees. So some of these demons are actually devotees in disguise of demons. And one of them was Sankachuda. And then one of them, of course, is starting off with Jagamadai. They were Jai and Vijay, and cursed by the Kumaras. And what's his name now? He appeared as one king was Mabangatam, was cursed by the wife of Lord Shiva to be a demon. And then he was killed in battle. So these demons that are killed, because they were devotees, they actually gave Krishna, because Vishnu actually kills the demons. Krishna, he doesn't kill demons. He's just concentrating on his relationship, on their relationship with his devotees in Braj. And these demons that came in Vrindavan, Putana and so on like that, they were actually killed by Lord Vishnu. Prabhupada actually explains this in the Adi Lila, Chapter 4, Confidential Reasons for Lord Caitanya's Appearance. And so Krishna, he is actually just, he's relating to his devotees in the different relationships, the different mellows of Dasya, Sakya, Vasalya, or Madhurya. And then according to their surrender, then Krishna reciprocates with them. So of course the residents of Vrindavan, they're all fully surrendered souls. They're not ordinary souls, they're very special people, devotees. So Krishna, because they're fully surrendered, Krishna is fully reciprocant with them. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the final instruction, Sama Dhamma Bhutaja Mamikam Savambrija Hamatvam Sava Prebyo Mokshimu Sacha. Now, if you read in the translation, Savambrija, Prabhupada writes, go to Braj, in the word for word, go to Braj in brackets. So for many years I was thinking, what does this actually mean? And I was, my mind was speculating. And then yesterday, I was hearing a lecture by Ayendra Prabhu, and he explains that the acharyas explain that after the Kurukshetra Leela, Arjuna went to Vrindavan, and he entered a kund on the west bank of the Yamuna, and he became a gopi, same as Narada Muni did. So then he's associated with Radha and Krishna personally, and then after some time he went into that kund and became Arjuna again. The acharyas explained this. He didn't say which acharya, but he explained all this. So to the soul that surrendered, he has full faith in Krishna. Surrender actually means, as Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, one of his purports, he says that he molds, a devotee who is fully surrendered molds his life around Krishna. And 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, he molds his life around Krishna. His activities, everything that devotee does, he molds his life around Krishna. But generally what happens in the beginning of Krishna consciousness is that we try to fit Krishna into our lives. We think, oh, I'll fit Krishna for 2 hours. I'll come to morning program, do my rounds, and then I'll do so much nonsense afterwards. But now, Prabhupada writes in the purport, we mold our lives around Krishna. That means every activity we do has to be done for the pleasure of Krishna, nothing else. If it's done for our pleasure, then it is what we call material sense gratification. We should not try to fit Krishna into our lives. That's like fitting a square peg into a round hole. It won't work. But if it's the other way, if we mold Krishna around our lives, then it'll work. And the process we're following will work. We hear so many times that we follow the process given, you know, from Shraddha to Prema. And sometimes we find, alright, it's not working, it's not working. Alright, we're following the process. We may be following the process. But also we have to internalize the process within. It's no good just following externally. We have to internalize the process as well at the same time. Externally follow and internalize. Inwardly internalize, inwardly at the same time. And then the process will work. So this process given by Lord Caitanya is that the process given by Lord Caitanya and Krishna, because I was reading the other day the introduction to the Caitanya and Charitamrita, and it says, Prabhupada writes, it said, there's no difference between the teachings of Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and the teachings of Lord Caitanya in the Charitamrita. There's no difference. So the process given to understand Krishna through Shraddha to Prema, we have to approach a spiritual master. And we have to get a bona fide spiritual master. Of course, the spiritual master now, according to one's surrender, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, according to one's surrender, I will actually reciprocate. And so, in the, again, Brihat Bhagavad Gita 2.4.85.86, it says, Tatvati mayi ekripam viksha Vektro nigraha vitraha adinim satim falashtanya tvaji amatadam akarayam shimat govande tasmim nija priyata nasar prade svayam avadratram tata jagiranta kaha sata guru. My dear one, I have become pleased with your bhakti so much is your intense desire in your heart that you're always crying for me. Therefore, I have transgressed all Vedic etiquette and made you take birth at Govardhan. I also appeared as your guru named Jayanta. So, of course, that's talking about Sanatan Gopa. And so, but the point is Adi Purana. Kayanti mam namami mama sabinto, samambito, tasmam ham parikrita, yanyantrita, janadana. Those who sing my names and cry in front of me, I am purchased by them. For Janadan is not purchased by anything. So, of course, he's talking about installed deities here. So then if we actually follow, this is the process by crying, not crying externally, not like these film stars crying in some sort of sad scene, but crying in the heart, then Krishna will come. Dhruva cried. He got Krishna. He saw Lord Vishnu face to face after six months of austerity, Lord Vishnu. And Abhimangal, he cried, and Krishna personally carried him to Vrindavan. So we have to cry for Krishna. If we get Krishna, we have to cry. If we want Krishna, we have to cry for him. And in the heart. And it said, so one time I was in, I forget where I was now, I think it was India. Yeah, there's a Mayapur. So then, in one, this question was brought up about crying for Krishna. So then one person asked the question, one devotee asked the question. He said, what if you're not crying for Krishna? He said, the speaker, who was, I think it was Janivas, or Pandajangri Prabhu, they said, you should be crying because you're not crying. So, this is a surrendered soul, and crying means, I say, internally in the heart, that I am a very fallen soul. Please save me. Now, in this, the Bhajan Gurudev by Bhagavan Thakur, in one of the verses, he says, I forget the kundiya, something, but in these translation means, I am crying, O Gurudev, I'm crying for your mercy. If I do not get your mercy, my life is not worth living. So, this is the mood of the Acharyas and Narottam in the songs of Narottam Das Thakur. Is also in the same mood. He's crying for the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Because Narottam was, he was always praying for the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And so the point is that we have to cry for Krishna, and then we'll get Krishna. And of course, you have to have after bona fide spiritual master. Now, of course, being a disciple means discipline. So the other day, this is a finish a minute. It's final. So the other day, one Prabhupada disciple, we were upstairs. It was last Saturday night. He was sharing one of his pastimes with Prabhupada. So this devotee, when he first joined, he went on a morning walk with Prabhupada, and on the morning walk, Prabhupada suddenly stopped, and all the devotees were hanging around, very close, so they could hear him because they couldn't understand his Bengali accent. So they were really hanging close to Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada then started to walk off. And as Prabhupada started to walk off, this devotee caught the back of Prabhupada's shoe, one of his shoes. And the shoe came off, and then Prabhupada looked and chastised this devotee and said, in future, when you morning walk, you step 3 steps behind me. So then he understood that this is some sort of instruction, and he took it in, I forget now, but he took it in one. Yeah, he took it that one should follow the instructions of the spiritual master. So then, little while back, he was in Vrindavan. He was present when one of his godbrothers was leaving his body. So then, another godbrother came, and speaking about the glories of this devotee who is about to leave his body. He said, this devotee who is about to leave his body, he was so fortunate he got chastised by Prabhupada. And he said, is there anyone else here who was chastised by Prabhupada? So this devotee put his hand up. He said, yes. And he explained. And this Avagopravas said, yes, you are so fortunate. Because if you're chastised by the spiritual master, you've been accepted by him. So spiritual master and disciple relationship, that we have to take the chastisement. And also in the one of the teachings of Ramanuja Acharya, it says that if one is chastised by the spiritual master, one should think no harm has been done. So I'm not saying that we go out and do nonsense on purpose so we be chastised, no. But if we deserve to be chastised for something we've done, then we should take it gladly. And then we know that we've been accepted by the spiritual, because he does this for our own good. So I'll stop here. And any questions or comments or corrections or chastisements?